The end of the Greenland Norse colony is often described as a mystery. That's true, but only partly so. Only the proximate reasons remain partly mysterious. The ultimate reasons are clear. They consist of the five sets of factors that we have already discussed in detail. Norse impact on the environment, climate change, decline in friendly contact with Norway, increase in hostile contact with the Inuit, and the conservative outlook of the Norse. Briefly, the Norse inadvertently depleted the environmental resources on which they depended by cutting trees, stripping turf, overgrazing, and causing soil erosion. That depletion threatened the society's survival in poor years. Second, calculations of climate from Greenland ice cores show that it was relatively mild when the Norse arrived, went through several runs of cold years in the 1300s, and then plunged in the early 1400s into the Little Ice Age. That lowered hay production, as well as clogging the ship lanes between Greenland and Norway with sea ice. Third, those obstacles to shipping were only one reason for the decline and eventual end of trade with Norway, on which the Greenlanders depended for their iron, some timber, and their cultural identity. About half of Norway's population died when the Black Death struck in 1349. Norway, Sweden, and Denmark became joined in 1397 under one king, who proceeded to neglect Norway as the poorest of his three provinces. The demand for walrus ivory declined when the Crusades gave Europe access again to elephant ivory. By the 1400s, carving with ivory of any sort was out of fashion in Europe. All those changes undermined Norway's resources and motivation for sending ships to Greenland. Finally, the arrival of the Inuit and the inability or unwillingness of the Norse to make drastic changes completed the quintet of ultimate factors behind the Greenland colony's demise. Of the two Norse settlements, the first to vanish completely was the smaller western settlement. It was more marginal for raising livestock than eastern settlement, because its more northerly location meant considerably less hay production, and hence greater likelihood that a cold or wet summer would result in too little hay to feed the animals through the following winter. A further cause of vulnerability was that its only access to the sea was by a single fjord, so that a hostile group of Inuit at the mouth of that one fjord could cut off all access to the crucial seal migration along the coast, on which the Norse depended for food in the late spring. We have two sources of information about the end of Western settlement, written and archaeological. The written account is by a priest named Ivar Bardason, who was sent to Greenland from Norway to act as ombudsman and royal tax collector, and to report on the condition of the church in Greenland. Sometime after his return to Norway around 1362, Bardason wrote an account called Description of Greenland, of which the original text is lost, and which we know only through later copies. Most of the preserved description consists of lists of Greenland churches and properties, buried among which is an exasperatingly brief account of the end of Western settlement. In the Western settlement stands a large church named Stenna's Church. That church was for a time the cathedral and bishop's seat. Now the Skrylings have the entire Western settlement. All the foregoing was told us by Ivar Bardason Greenlander, that he had seen all this and he was one of those appointed to go to the Western settlement in order to drive the Skrylings out. On their arrival, they found no men, either Christian or heathen. I feel like shaking Ivar Bardason's corpse in frustration. How could 1,000 people have vanished down to the last individual? Were there any signs of fighting, burned buildings, or dead bodies? But Bardason tells us nothing more. Instead, we have to turn to the findings of archaeologists who excavated the uppermost layer of debris at several Western settlement farms. In the ruins of those farms are doors, posts, roof timbers, furniture, and other big wooden objects. That's unusual. When a farm building is abandoned intentionally in northern Scandinavia, such precious wooden objects are typically carried away to reuse. Evidently, Western settlement was either abandoned hastily, or else its last occupants died there. The animal bones in those topmost layers tell a grim story. They include foot bones of small wild birds and rabbits, which would normally have been considered too small to be worth hunting and usable only as last-ditch famine food. Bones of a newborn calf and lamb, which would have been born in the late spring, the toe bones of a number of cows, approximately equal to the number of spaces in that farm's cow barn, suggesting that all cows had been slaughtered and were eaten down to the hoofs, and partial skeletons of big hunting dogs with knife marks on the bones. Dog bones are otherwise virtually absent in Norse houses, because the Norse were no more willing to eat their dogs than we are today. By killing the dogs on which they depended to hunt caribou in the autumn, and by killing the newborn livestock needed to rebuild their herds, the last inhabitants were in effect saying that they were too desperately hungry to care about the future. In lower debris layers of the houses, the carrion-eating flies associated with human feces belonged to warmth-loving fly species, but the top layer had only cold-tolerant fly species, suggesting that the inhabitants had run out of fuel as well as of food.